Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of The Huddle is brought to you by the Athletic Club Oakland, my go-to sports bar in the East Bay. Look, this will be a shock to no one. I love watching sports, and I love it even more while at a sports bar. But to be honest, there was a long period of time where I just couldn't find one I actually liked. I'd find a spot that had TVs, but the food sucked ass, or a place that had good food, but they wouldn't show the game I wanted, and the inside felt dark and depressing. It was always some trade-off or sacrifice, and that's finally done now. The ACO is exactly what I'm looking for without sacrifice. They have a huge space, including an outdoor spot where they shut down an entire street and called it the Town Gardens. They have more than 100 televisions, which can and will show every game you ask for, and they have great food. The ACO has everything you need to comfortably watch your favorite team in any sport at any time with passionate fans. I love it, and I'm pretty damn sure you will too. The Athletic Club Oakland, where sports fans get everything they want every day they want it.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. No Marcus today, but with me per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime, I am fired up to announce that rejoining us after way longer than I'd like, the Golden State beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, a man who attends every single Warriors press conference, practice, shoot around a game, and the man I turn to when I need to vent about how terrible the dialogue is in a video game, Mr. CJ Holmes. What's going on, CJ?
Hey, back like Jordan wearing the 4-5. How y'all boys doing today?
We are good. We like seeing ya. I can tell that you are in a hotel room, man. Where does this podcast find you?
Checking in from Memphis, Tennessee for tomorrow's grudge match against the Memphis Grizzlies.
And that grudge match just got even more FU-y with Draymond's comments. So we'll be exploring in a second here. It should be big fun. Do you look forward to certain games? Like when you left, when you hopped on the plane, you got this 3-game road trip. Is there ones you've circled that you're more excited about, or, you know, they're all part of the job?
Yeah, it's like mostly it's like the locations. Like I love going back to Phoenix, seeing all my old friends. I'm loving going to, you know, going on to DC, seeing my family, friends and family. I would say those are the two biggest ones. And then, you know, it's always the cool locations, right? Like Miami or, you know, LA. Those are always fun. But, you know, it's all work, but work is fun. So
I half expect you to be like, well, you know, the big games, Memphis, these people. No, it was a friend analysis and a nightlife analysis, which I immediately respected. Nicely fucking played.
I'm not saying nightlife, but you know, there are some cities are funner than others.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the Starbucks locations and everything. You know? I mean, that's exactly what goes to it. I got so much stuff for you today, CJ. In fact, we got a question that was written and directed towards you specifically. So we got to push off here. But
like aggressively?
Well, you'll find out. I'm not going to tell you. I want you to be kind of worried about it as we go forward here. So we'll see how that plays. But housekeeping before we go forward, housekeeping number one. So, CJ, we've been doing this intern Hunger Games, and we had narrowed it down to the final four. We've heard from two people. Today, you are going to be evaluating Spencer, but I guess good news, bad news. Good news for Spencer, bad news for us. Spencer got a promotion, is no longer the kind of man with free time to be able to serve as our intern. So he has pulled himself out of the competition. So we're not going to hear from Spencer today, unfortunately enough.
Spencer was ready for this heat.
I have learned from previous experiences not to shit out them when they're not here, so I'm just going to keep that in pocket. I'm sure that, you know, it's all good news for Spencer, but we do have good news on our own. CJ, we have written content now. The huddle is expanding, dude. We're hella fancy. Maxime, where is that written content? How would you describe it? What's going on?
Yeah, all right. So, you know, it's a little bit of a work in progress. I think people like to, you know, build things as they go instead of trying to have a polished product. But here it is. The Warriors Huddle website is live, warriorshuddle.com. It's not just huddle at warriorshuddle.com. It's now a full-fledged website. And in it, we got all kinds of stuff. But what Bram is referring to is we've got a blog going, and we even have a couple of blog posts from Tanner up here already. So you can check out. He's been writing judiciously after every single game. So we have some great thoughts here. You can drop some comments and enjoy that as well. And then, of course, that's also an opportunity to check out the podcast itself. We've got a page where you can actually see the podcast and all of our old episodes. And even a nice little thumbnail reel with our most recent episodes. So there you go.
Done, boys.
Yeah, fuck. I mean, here's a little transparency and an admission. I have not seen that before, CJ, and I should be embarrassed. So Maxime has sent us these links, and I knew that there was a blog, and I knew the pieces, but I haven't actually hit them yet because I thought it was just a blog. And we have this dope-ass website out there I had not seen. So Maxime, I should have thanked you before we went live. Also, that splash page, I look like an asshole in that photograph. For those who hop on there, careful. Where is the website, by the way? What's the address?
It is warriorshuddle.com.
Boom. You want to see, you know, great content or me look like an asshole? That's the perfect place to go. CJ, I've buried the lead. All right. So we normally start with a glass half full, but not when we have guests of your caliber. For you, we do the off the court report. So if you're new to the podcast, the idea behind this is hella easy. You're probably already tired of hearing me speak. Good news here. I stop speaking. CJ has access to this team in a way we do not. He sees all the stuff that happens off the floor. So for this segment, we just ask him any stories, anything he's seen recently. What do you got, man?
Yeah, I wanted to take you guys into the locker room last night in Oklahoma City. Warriors suffered their 25th road loss of the season. And, you know, after a lot of these losses, you know, sometimes it's, you know, a pretty lighthearted vibe. You know, we'll get the next one kind of mood. But, you know, last night in Oklahoma City, it was quiet. There was tension. You know, guys were slow coming out to media availability. You know, usually when the Warriors are on the road, you know, Raymond Ritter's chugging these guys out so they can catch their flight. But, you know, guys were lagging. It was quiet. You can cut the tension with a knife. And to me, that's just an indication that, you know, these road struggles, you know, for the first time, I'm not saying this is the only time the locker room's ever been that way, but, you know, after losses, but it hasn't been like that very often. And to me, it's an indication that these road losses are really starting to pile up, you know, which is obvious. And it's obvious that it's starting to, you know, get to the players. There's a sense of frustration in there, I have to say. Now, granted, can they bounce back tomorrow and the vibes are, you know, better again? Sure, everything's better when you're winning. But, you know, last night was the first time in a while that you could actually feel that tension in the locker room.
So you're a professional and you've already transitioned us. Yeah. So I've got a lot of follow ups. But this is, in fact, the golden question the person wrote in. So I'm just going to transition to that. Here is the question. Quote, there was a moment last night when Draymond got so frustrated with punched in the face pool, he literally stopped playing and walked off the court instead of continuing the possession. Please get CJ back stat and ask what the vibe is around the team. Just really quickly, the nickname punched in the face pool, great alliteration. I'm not sure it's going to stick. That, but if I'm Jordan Poole, I do not want that to be my nickname. And let's show the play real fast because I noticed it too, and it has made its rounds on social media. We're watching a play in the second quarter here where Draymond literally gets so fucking frustrated. He waves his hands, turns his back, and then it results in a turnover because he's so angry that Poole missed him, which leads back to you, CJ. So you said that, you know, after other losses, you've seen them come out of there slow. What was the difference this time? It was just something unspoken? Was it literally the pace that they came out of there? Why do you feel like there's more frustration now?
I mean, it was just unspoken. Like I said, it was like you could just feel the frustration in the locker room, right? Now, and, you know, like I said, typically on the road, guys are coming in and out of the media room quickly because they have to catch a flight, but, you know, I want to say guys were hanging their heads. It wasn't anything like that, but, you could just tell that there's like a little bit of a lag yesterday. First of all, I mean, who wants to talk to the media after a loss like that? But I don't know. It was just indicative to me that these road losses are really starting to get to these guys. You know, Steve Kerr, you know, referencing the, you know, the Draymond play. Draymond didn't talk to the media last night, so we didn't get his perspective on it. But Steve Kerr said after the game yesterday that he felt a disconnect in the first half, and that's, you know, pretty much what cost the Warriors the game. And, you know, plays like that, you know, make it pretty obvious. You know, who knows why Dre was so frustrated in that moment. Perhaps there were, you know, a couple plays, you know, I have to go back and watch the film, but maybe there were a couple plays or, you know, Draymond was missed in a row, maybe a few high-low opportunities that were missed because, you know, guys weren't hitting them on time and on target. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not a good look, right? You know, he gave up on the play maybe a second, like a half second before the ball was thrown his way, resulting in a turnover. And you could tell that Draymond was frustrated with himself after that, you know, as he made his way back down the court. And if you ask him, I'm sure he would say that he regretted it. But when you think about that disconnect that Kerr talked about, that play sums it up perfectly. This was I think it was like the 10th consecutive game where the Warriors have gone down 10 or more points in the first quarter. These slow starts are starting to pile up too. And while they're able to overcome them at home, doing so on the road is exceedingly more difficult. It's exceedingly more difficult. You can't bury yourself in a hole on another team's court and expect to be able to come storming back every time. That's not how this league works, right? Teams wouldn't do that at Chase Center, I'll tell you that. Where the Warriors have, I think, the third best defensive rating in the league on the road. I think they have like the third, they have like, you know, one of the worst defensive ratings on the road. And that all comes back to connectivity, comes back to guys being on the same page. And last night's game was another example of, you know, why the season has been so up and down.
Of course, you're right. So let's start with Draymond. There is no bigger show of disappointment or frustration than what he did while you're playing an NBA game. You know, like if he wasn't playing, then you could, you know, go to give a press conference or something and say, I'm really frustrated. There's a disconnect here. But while you were literally engaged in an NBA game, what he did is probably about as demonstrative as you can be with frustration. You know, it wasn't, we see people get, you know, down where they kind of put their head down or they close their eyes out of frustration and they keep going. That's not what the fuck Draymond did. Draymond literally waved his hands in frustration, turned his back on the play, and allowed Klay to throw it to nobody. So biggest, you know, show of disappointment as he could possibly show. And he's not fucking alone. You know, I am getting incredibly frustrated. I'm sure I'm not speaking out of turn. In fact, Maxine, go ahead and pull up that tweet. I tweeted out this morning to Dub Nation, you know, how we feeling. And it was an outpouring of kind of confused responses. Some people were happy. Some people were very upset. Here you go. First one, fractured. I don't know what the heck that was that I watched last night or the game before. Next thing, same as all season. The Dubs' schizophrenia on the road versus at home remains the story of the season. And there's some positive ones too. But the long and short of it is that I think we're all frustrated as hell. And last night was a good place to put that frustration because I think with Steph coming back and we were on, you know, a 5-game winning streak, we all kind of expected this is when the Rocky music starts. This is when the comeback comes. This is that runway to the title window. And Steph comes back the first game and, you know, he plays well. And maybe there is just some, you know, some rust on his connection with the rest of the team. But this OKC game against a team they should beat was in my mind the launching point, and they fucking lost it. So of course we're frustrated. Maxime, I mean, how are you dealing with all this, Matt?
Well, I was just remembering, I think when we watched that happen and Draymond sort of gave up on the play, it was so remarkable that Fitz remarked on it, which felt remarkable in and of itself, right? That this was this moment that even the Warriors announcers who are on Warriors payroll are calling out this thing. So we're dealing with a systemic issue, and you're starting to see, you're seeing it on the Twitter posts, you're seeing it across Reddit. People are starting to speculate about whether or not there's something in this locker room that is a little bit sour right now. And sounds like we're hearing that from CJ too. So I continue to be confused, and it's the question that everybody's asking, but why is it that I'm so afraid now of whenever the Warriors are at another arena as opposed to at Chase Center? Because there's clearly a discrepancy going on. I'm like, are they able to just like leave and go spend time with their family and friends, and so they don't have to stress? Like, I can't understand how there's this much of a distinction between the two. And it's making me feel like somebody said in the Twitter replies, schizophrenic.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say this, you know, I think the Warriors home overall record and home versus away record is a, you know, perfect microcosm of the season as a whole, all the stops and starts, the winning streaks followed by the losing streaks, players coming in and out. It just sums it all up really so perfectly. And we're at the point in the season where you are what your record says you are. You are what your stats say you are. But despite all that, you know, the Warriors are, I think, in sixth place or tied for fifth, something like that, entering Wednesday's games. So despite all that, they're still in good position. But, you know, as Curry said after the game yesterday, it's not about being in good position. It's about taking advantage of it.
That's right.
The Warriors are going to have to find a way to do that, you know, over these final 16 games. I think at this point it's safe to say that the Warriors are going to be a playoff team, right? But you know, if they slip a couple games here and there, lose a couple more they're supposed to, end up in that play-in tournament, let alone end up in that play-in tournament and be a low seed, anything can happen, and that is not a situation this team wants to be in, especially not with the most expensive roster in all of basketball.
No, fuck no. You know those drawings, there's a word for them, but I don't know what they are, where two people can look at the same drawing and see different things. One person can see an old woman, the other person sees the young woman, you know, and then they're both in there. It just depends on how you're looking at it. This season is one of those drawings. You know, if I want to be really optimistic and tell you why the Warriors should be viewed as title contenders, Steph Curry has missed, 22, 23 games, and they're in fucking sixth place. And they're still here. If before the season I'd come to you and said, Steph is going to miss a quarter of the season, but they're still within striking distance and will still be in the playoffs, I'd be great. You know, great. Then they're doing well. But if I then gave you the road record and looked at their defensive splits when they're not at Chase, then it's an entire, you know, then it's the old woman. Then it's an entirely different look. And I think that's one of the things that's made this year so hard. There's no consistency. I'll tell you, boys, I'll admit this as long as you don't tell anybody else. After last night, I got so frustrated. I literally had to have almost a discussion with myself and change expectations. If I keep entering each one of these games thinking I'm going to see the Warriors in all caps, I'm going to use years off my life. Like it frustrates me so much. And so now I have to accept that they are a puncher's chance team. You know, if everything lines up exactly as we want it, then great. But I can't expect greatness anymore unless I want to sign myself up for even more therapy than I already need.
To your point, I don't think championship, maybe in the Warriors locker room, championship still expectations, but you know, from the fan standpoint, from y'all's perspective, I don't think championship should be the expectation, you know, the way this team is playing right now, you know, in honor of March Madness that's about to get started next week. I think that the expectation should just be survive in advance.
Yeah. Yeah. At some point, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, you know, and this has been a 500 team for a lot of the year. So I think that's good advice. Go ahead, Maxime.
Yeah. I mean, I listen to the Low Post, Zach Lowe's podcast, periodically, and he keeps on saying in these like bite-sized moments, I'm just waiting for the Warriors to go on a run. And like, I could see them being 41-41 at the end of the season and still saying, I'm expecting them to go on a run at any moment. Right. Just like, there's something here, you know, I feel you, Bram. I came out of last night's game so frustrated. I was so cranky. I was just trying to have a nice night with my wife. And instead I was just pissed. And it's one of those things that it's because I have such high expectations. And like, maybe at this point I'm tempering them a little bit because it's not about finals or bust anymore. But I want this should be more than a 500 team. There aren't new pieces in here that we haven't integrated before. Jordan Poole has been a part of a championship roster. I just don't understand how we're falling apart quite this hard.
We need this to be a title contending team. I mean, here's what's not going to happen next year. Steph, Dre, or Clay getting younger. You know, I mean, this window, I mean, it really is, you know, like every year that passes, the chances of these guys making it back to the top of the mountain go down a little bit. You know, maybe there's a secondary window. We don't even have to go into that. But yeah, do I want to view this as a wasted season? Of course I don't. You know, that each one of these have to count. But I guess it's just to protect myself, you know, entering into these with sky high expectations. I don't know. I've just been burnt too many times. You know what I mean? I tell you what, we need an infusion of optimism. So I'm going to back up a topic, boys, and I'm going to go to the glass half full. CJ, you remember this? We were just looking back on recent hopes, something we like, something we don't. We sure as fuck know what we don't. We just covered it over the last 8 to 9 minutes. So I'll give you something that I do. You know what I like? I like how much Steph Curry enjoys his job. I don't think I know anybody who enjoys his job as much as Steph Curry does. And, you know, we watched him go off last night. It was a 40 spot and he looked phenomenal doing it and having a lot of fun. But I'm also going to use this as an excuse to play an old clip. Go ahead and run that highlight, Maxime. And so this came out over the offseason and it's a highlight of Steph after the end of the first game against Memphis in the Western semifinals. And you can fast forward to about halfway through.
Come on, fellas. I know.
For those who aren't watching the video, you guys remember, Ja misses that layup. The Warriors win that game, and the highlight starts with Ja and Jaren Jackson talking, kind of upset that he missed the shot. And out of nowhere, Steph comes in screaming, come on, come on. You can tell he is just excited, just likes being out there, so much so that Jaren Jackson, almost surprisingly, like he can't hold it back, says, oh, you love this shit, don't you? And he screams, yes. So the joy that Steph possesses while he goes out there and dominates is something I like. And I'll weaponize one more thing. You know what else I like, boys? Iguodala looking good. He came in that first quarter and he made a difference. The Warriors were down 8 and he erased that deficit. He even had a dunk and didn't get hurt. So, you know, if one of the things that needs to happen for the Warriors to get back to that title trajectory is Iguodala kind of finding his legs. Last night was a step in the right direction. So there's some stuff I like. Boys, what do you got?
Yeah, Iguodala's been looking good. And not just last night, he did the same thing Sunday in Los Angeles. They were down early. He comes in. They immediately go on an 11-2 run. And Iguodala's not doing with his scoring, right? He's a point four. He's doing with his passing, his defense, spreading the ball around, getting other guys in rhythm. That's his value to this team. Look at this Warriors roster, top to bottom, litter scoring, right? They don't need guys to come in trying to score the ball. And at his advanced age, I'm not sure how much success he'd have at that either. No offense to Andre for watching this. I'm sure you can still fill it up if you set your mind to it. But, you know, just being realistic with it, you know, they need another guy to stir the drink, right? And starting lineup is Draymond Green. And, you know, as we saw earlier in the year, I think it was that Houston game earlier in the year when they first put Draymond Green in the second unit. I think that going into the season, the hope was that Iguodala could be that stir drinker in the second unit. And like right now that he's healthy, trying to get his legs back under him, he's slowly working his way back into form. And the plan with Iguodala has always been not to have him available for the regular season, but have him, and at least early on, the plan has always been to have him healthy and available late in the season for a potential playoff run. So, you know, hopefully as Iguodala ramps up, it'll take this Warriors team to another level.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I came in here, I was like, if I'm going to have to talk glass half full, I'm going to talk about Iguodala because that, I mean, it was nice, right? It felt vintage in small bursts like that. I mean, he's just so smooth. That one steal that he had where it eventually went out of bounds was nonetheless just very, very beautiful. His arms seemed like they were, you know, extending like the go-go gadget arms or whatever, even though I hate that line. Felt like it very much applied. But beyond that, I start to sort of like lose the ability to be optimistic at this moment. So maybe you don't want to go to me when you're trying to say glass half full because I'm just like generally kind of like not feeling great at the moment. The glass is maybe slightly less than halfway full. There's some water in it, but it's not that much.
Erica asked me last night, my wife, Erica, and I should also, I listened to the last podcast and I made like a couple of jokes more than once saying that when they lose, I'll sometimes scream at my wife. Let me go ahead and say that's not true. In fact, anyone who's ever met Erica knows that the power dynamic does not work like that in any way, shape, or form. She would punk the shit out of me. So what happens is I just get sullen. You know, you can tell I get super pissy and I don't want to participate. And so last night that goes down And Erica asked me just point blank, why do you watch this? You know, like, if this is a television show, like, if you don't enjoy it, why do you watch it? And I got even more pissy and sullen, and then just got out of there. I didn't have a response for, you know, so it is what it is.
Wait, okay, Max, boy. Hold up. Before we go on, do we need to unpack that Go-Go Gadget bit? Is that like some deep-seated emotional trauma we need to unpack here on the pod? Or?
No. What is this?
No. You and Inspector Gadget have some issues, or
it's like, really, we're gonna unpack this. I just feels like it got overused. You know what I mean? These Go-Go Gadget arms thing. It's like it can apply in so many situations. Like, wow, he's got long reach, and that's like our only. You know, it's deep embedded into my brain. So to the point that I can't come up with any other metaphor, and it feels overused.
I think it's time for an Inspector Gadget live action reboot. I'm ready.
Why are you trying to give him fucking PTSD?
Like modern CGI? Like a dark and gritty take on Inspector Gadget? That'd be fire, right?
I'd watch that. I'd watch that in a heartbeat.
That would actually be therapy for me. Yeah. It would reset a little bit of my perception of what's going on with Inspector Gadget.
We'll never know.
Yeah, they're coming on the new cut. How are y'all feeling with the short look?
I mean, how the fuck would we comment on it? You had your hood on this entire time. You think I have X-ray vision? I like it a lot. You know, that's very nice. And I'm not ready to give up on this Inspector Gadget joke. If this was a movie, it would cut and it would show back, you know, whatever, like 2005 or something. And it would show Maxime getting broken up with. And then the camera would pan back and it'd be Inspector Gadget on the TV in the background. And he's using his like Go-Go Gadget arms. He's like, I just hate it. I hate it when that happens.
Go-Go Gadget, delete my number.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Okay, boys, let's go to our golden questions. It's our mailbag. We already covered the first one. Here's the second one. Draymond Green went nuclear on Dylan Brooks in his podcast. If you boys have heard the comments, do you think that was a good idea or a bad idea? I haven't heard the comments, but luckily we have them here. Maxime, go ahead and run them.
This idiot said, I don't know what Draymond does out there. He said, I don't like Draymond at all. You don't know me. I just don't like Golden State. I quite frankly wouldn't like a team that beats me all the time either. I don't like anything to do with them. Quite frankly, you were a little kid in high school watching us win championships. Should be happy that you even witnessed that, or maybe college, but you get the point. You're a fan. Draymond talks a lot. You talk a lot now. So if you have 4 rings, sure, you talk a lot more. For All-Stars, you probably talk a bit more. Defensive Player of the Year, you for damn sure would talk more. 2 Olympic gold medals, you definitely would be talking, because that would mean you beat Team USA, and we all know how that goes. So, gets away with a lot, too. What exactly do I get away with? I have 15 texts, 1 less than your dumb ass. Okay, great. His game is cool. If you ever wondered why the Memphis Grizzlies is not ready to compete for a championship, look no further than this idiot right here. They're actually depending on this guy to help them win a championship. And he says his game is cool. Quite frankly, that just shows how little you know about basketball. And yet, y'all, you running around talking about a dynasty? The dynasty starts after you.
My goodness. I'm loading the clip. No pun intended.
But. We did not hold back. And so this gentleman wants to know if we think it was a good idea or bad idea that Draymond did that. So CJ, let's start with you, man. You know, just you played at a very high level. The Warriors are now entering into a game against Dylan Brooks and Memphis tomorrow. There is no doubt that Mr. Brooks will hear all of that before they play. So what do you think, dude? Good idea, bad idea?
Look, I'll say this. Whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, Draymond Green is going to speak his mind, right? If you speak out against that guy, don't be surprised, you know, when he claps back at you, you know, a couple times harder. I guess at this point, and not that I'm inciting violence or anything of that nature, it's like, what's Dylan going to do about it, right? But, you know, overall, it just makes for more entertaining basketball for us.
So let's get the objective reality out of the way. Draymond Green has a remarkably bright future in sports media ahead of him. He's not only, you know, phenomenal on the fly and an intelligent speaker, but he also has a sense of entertainment, you know, and that he seized on that and dropped all of that. You know, his future is bright. Like I said, as a fan, am I happy he did that? Nope. No, I'm not. And it's more the timing. I have no problem with him doing that. In fact, I'm glad that he clapped back. I remember reading that Dylan Brooks article and it made me very angry. But we couldn't wait a day. You know, we couldn't fucking play Memphis and don't give them anything for the bulletin board and then drop all of that shit. For all the reasons we've already talked about, Thursday's important. You know, we need an infusion, especially if that locker room is starting to feel our frustration. And with Ja out, it's almost, and this is PTSD, it almost makes him more dangerous. I feel like we lose to all the teams when they don't have their best player. So did we need him motivating this team that's going to be playing at home right before we play him? No. So I like what he did, but I don't like when he did it.
So we have Ja Morant, when the star player is out on the team, that's like we know that's an opportunity for just a dropped game, right? Because they come in without the same energy and then next thing you know, they get punched in the mouth. I mean, we saw it when Steph wasn't playing in the Christmas Day game against Memphis. So I'm not saying that this is an easy win, but at the same time, Dylan Brooks is coming back, right? He's already served his one game suspension for the 16th tech. So he's going to be in this game. Is this not some mind games? Because if he gets the double tech, he's suspended for another game. You know, I could see him just trying to poke the bear a little bit and say, like, you know, you want to go? Like, let's take it onto the court.
I like it. So with that in mind, then, good thing? Are you glad he did it?
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell. But at this point, you know, I'm willing to take the glass half full on this one and say, like, you know, Draymond's a very, very shrewd man, right? It's why he's going to be such a good media member when his NBA career is over. But it's also what makes him so good at manipulating the things at the margins. And it's very possible that he knows what he's doing here.
Every now and again, though, he punches somebody in the dick and it hurts us. You know, I mean, to put that maybe a little bit more artfully, he allows his emotions to make decisions without using his intelligence to curb them, you know, and this could be either. I mean, what you just said makes a lot of sense. He is a smart dude and probably has notes before he goes into a podcast. I do, you know, but there's also a chance he read that and thought to himself, F you, I have a microphone and I'm going to project exactly what I thought. You know, we'll see. The fun thing about this topic is Thursday is tomorrow and we will know soon enough. You know, we'll see if he gets kicked out. All right, here's our next question. The Warriors possible playoff matchup changes by the second. If you could pick a team to play and avoid, who would it be? I've got some answers here and I'm happy to vamp if you guys need some time, but CJ, I'll start with you, Matt. What do you think? Who would you like to see? Who should Warrior fans hope that they play and hope that they avoid?
Talking about postseason?
Postseason.
You know, for the sake, this is me just saying this selfishly, for the sake of less travel, I think they should want to play the Sacramento Kings. And I say that because the Kings are a team that haven't been there in a very long time, right? For them, just getting to the playoffs is an accomplishment within itself.
Oh, yes.
But the Warriors are a veteran team with championship aspirations that have done this four times over. So I think a first-round matchup against a team as experienced as them, I think everyone on that team, or most people on the team, were probably like toddlers or extremely young the last time the Kings made the playoffs. They don't know how to win yet. And I think the Warriors being matched up against a team that doesn't have that kind of postseason pedigree will obviously work out in their favor. In terms of who they should avoid, you know, and another team I think that they'd want to see is the Denver Nuggets. You know, as good as they've been throughout the regular season, this is a team that the Warriors just handled a year ago. I think, what was it, 4-1 that series or something like that? You know, Jokic can't guard a high pick and roll. You know, they're a team that can be schemed out of, you know, what they want to do in the postseason. So I think that that's another team that they'd want to see. Who they do not want to see? I don't think they want to see those Phoenix Suns. They're 3-0 since the acquisitions of Kevin Durant. Obviously, if that is a matchup at some point this postseason, there's going to be so many storylines and distractions that go into that. And KD's going to be on a revenge tour. He just watched his former team win a championship last season without him, right? So he's going to be coming to that series on a mission. And as we all know as basketball fans, a Kevin Durant on a mission is a very, very dangerous man. Among some other teams that the Warriors probably shouldn't want to see, you know, obviously Memphis, if complete with the Ja Morant and, you know, everyone in the fold, that's a difficult series because, you know, for the Grizzlies, they are a year more experienced and they're pissed off after last year's playoff series. So I think, you know, if you take in the Warriors' struggles on the road, especially if the Grizzlies are the higher seed entering that series, that's something I don't think they want any part of. And although the Warriors, you know, handled the Mavericks quite easily last year, you know, they have Kyrie back there now. That could be a tough series too. Any series with Luka Doncic in it, it's gonna be a fight. Especially if Andrew Wiggins' personal issues extend into the postseason. You know, Wiggins was the Luka stopper last year. Well, as much as you can slow down Luka Doncic, Wiggins was the Luka stopper last year. He'll be assigned Kevin Durant this postseason if he's in the fold. And if you think if Wiggins is, you know, off the court issue, not the court, I'm going to say off the court issues, if Wiggins' family matter extends to the postseason, they're going to be down their best perimeter player in a conference full of perimeter stars.
I had a Wiggins question that was submitted and I've kind of been avoiding just because I feel like there's no new information. I mean, do you have outside of it's a family matter? There's nothing official, right? Like there's no information to publish.
Nothing official. It's been very, very quiet on the Warriors' end. This is something they're keeping very close to the vest out of respect for Andrew. I respect that of them.
Yeah. You and I both. We'll keep it to the side. I mean, until there is anything to really report, I'll keep it as a topic that we're not discussing. And I'll pick up the question that you just said. So you said it very elegantly, and I agree with you. I'm going to go backwards. Who do I want to avoid? I want to avoid fucking Phoenix too, right? And let me put it in pro-Warrior terms. The reason why I want to avoid Phoenix is I think almost every other team on that list has learned intimidation. You know, Denver can really feel themselves because they're the number one seed, but they've learned to be intimidated by the Warriors. Same for Dallas, pick a team. You know who will not be intimidated in the least? Phoenix. And if it's Kevin Durant who's behind them, I'd like to not see that matchup. You know who I want to see them play? Sacto. All right. You described why they don't have learned intimidation in fucking spades and they don't have any experience, but I'm going to do it in a different way. I think if they play Sacto, it's a no lose scenario. If they win, phenomenal, phenomenal. We move on. And obviously they didn't lose. If they lose, Joe Lacob will scorch the fucking earth to make sure that the team has an unbelievable roster next year, because that's Vivek. Right. That's the Sacto is owned by that former member of our ownership here. Vivek has tried to chase the Warriors ever since he left. If we match up against them and they beat us in a playoff series, do not think for a second that competitive douchebag Lacob won't take it hard and won't come out with a vengeance next year. So, you know, I am. It doesn't mean that he can buy a title, but it sure as hell means I think, you know, there won't be any negotiating with Bob Myers anymore. I think he's going to bust out that black MX card and spend every dollar that he needs to. So that's the matchup I am really hoping for, you know, and so we'll see. We'll see if that goes down. Maxime?
So this is all making a ton of sense to me. I don't want to try to, you know, beat a dead horse because I totally agree. Would love to see the Kings. Very interesting take about Vivek. Would love to avoid seeing Phoenix. So I'm going to change it a little bit. There are two teams that, like, you know, actually put some legitimate fear into my heart. And I recognize and I'm respectful of Denver. I'm respectful of Memphis and what they can do. But it's Phoenix and it's the Mavs, right? And so I'll put it this way. If you told me, yes, at some point during this postseason run, we're going to have to face each of them, I would prefer to face the Mavs early, and I would prefer to face Phoenix late. The reason I would prefer to face the Mavs early is because they're trying to still figure each other out. This two guard situation between Luka and Kyrie is problematic. The more time they get together, especially when the game slows down and you get to pay attention to one team for 4 to 7 games, the more they're going to be able to scheme and have conversations and you know, get a little bit better, right? So the earlier we see them, the better. With Phoenix, the later the better. Injuries. Because frankly, injuries. Exactly right. I don't trust Chris Paul and Kevin Durant to be going 16 for 16 or whatever it's going to be in the playoffs. One of them is going to be spending some time on the bench during this run. And the later you get, the more likely it is to occur. To be clear, I don't wish injuries on anybody, but that's the fact of the league. These guys are getting old, and Kevin Durant came back from a pretty catastrophic set of injuries. And we know that Chris Paul has never been healthy in the playoffs. So there you have it.
It's nicely said. So nicely said. The only follow-up question I have is, who are these people beating dead horses and why does that happen? How did that become a saying? It's just a weird, weird background.
Yeah, it's actually, it comes from Inspector Gadget. He would just use his go-go gadget arms to beat horses all the time.
And
it's
makes sense why that show bothers you so much, dude. It makes sense why you have like these like super traumatic experiences. It's all the horse beating. It all came out. There we go. Full circle. We got there.
I'm sure PETA wants that statement stricken from the record.
Yeah. And I, if I had to guess, I think PETA was behind Inspector Gadget's canceling. I mean, like, now we know, you know, what the fuck went down. Our final topic, and it's an old one we haven't done for a while, CJ. It's called basketball court. So here, sometimes we have other people give us issues. Sometimes they come from us. Today it comes from me. And the idea is we are going to make you an honorable judge for the next 15 minutes. I'm going to run a social scenario by you. And in your basketball court, you're going to tell me whether or not you're ruling, whether or not it was a socially acceptable scenario. All right.
So, can I get like an introduction, like an actual judge? Like
here, as an attorney, I can tell you there's not, I'm going to add a little bit to it. All right. I'm going to make it like old England, but it's not really like this.
Wait. Let me get in character.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it. That's wow. Yeah, that's a sour face. That's fantastic. All right, hear ye. Here comes CJ Holmes presiding over the honorable basketball court. Please rise and acknowledge his excellence. Phenomenally well done. Okay, Your Honor. Here's what happened. May it please the court. Last night, I found myself watching the game with a friend. I haven't seen him for a while. Generally enjoy his company. We went to a bar. And it was one of those nights where I drank a little bit more than I needed to. So by the end, although I normally don't drink hard alcohol, it was kind of those like, fuck it. You know, we're just having a good time. And I'm starting to order random things. And it is what it is. And at one point, I order a brand new drink I had never tried. A fire mojito. Which just by on the side, cool name, good idea, you know, out it comes. And it was good enough, spicy, I guess I could say. And I get 2-3 sips in and my friend asks if he can try it. Having never also tried it, he wants to get a sense of it. So I'm already weird. I pucker up a little bit. Butthole does. Like, why are you asking to try my drink? But fine, you know, and I pass it over and he uses my straw. And to be fair, I don't use straws. I'm surprised I hadn't taken the straw out. But he uses the straw. That was sometime in the second quarter. I think I may have been as upset about the straw using as I was about the actual like outcome of the game. Like I couldn't get over it. I've been upset about it all day. All right. So honorable CJ, acceptable? Dude, like one, is it acceptable even to ask for a sip of my drink? But two, once I say yes, are you allowed to use the straw? Because I feel like if he had taken my drink and used his ass to drink out of it, I would have been less upset than him using my straw.
As Steve Kerr once said, a code has been broken. Book the code. You know, like, not only, like, to put this in a very delicate, clear, this is very delicately.
Yeah, you're right in your opinion.
So, I mean, like, all the time, like, I let my bros, like, try my drink, or I got to get a swig of my beer, or, like, you know, something like my Long Island all the time. However, from, like, a hygiene, a clinical hygiene standpoint, like, you sip off the side of the cup. You know what I'm saying? Like it's one thing. I don't know. It's like, it's one thing if your girl, like, sips out the straw. That's your girl, right? You guys are kissing and swapping tongues all the time. This is the Brody. And the Brody should know that there are boundaries. There are boundaries. And the ruling is in. You broke the code, man. It's a violation. It's a violation of trust. You know, it's a violation of boundaries. It's a violation of hygiene. The bros sip off the side of the cup, period.
I am so happy with that decision. And I think that decision would have been true if we were on the, like, the front side of a global pandemic. We're on the COVID just happened, dude. Like, I'm weird about just, like, eating inside as it is. I'm not trying to split a straw with somebody whose vaccination said about just that whole thing. Hit me in a weird place. Maxine, what would you do? So that goes down. You've handed it off. Your friend has now drank from your fire mojito straw. What's your response?
Panic, pure panic. because here's the thing. I really ascribe to the notion that, like, sharing a drink, like, oh, I bought this drink, you got this one. Cocktails are expensive in the Bay, man. We're spending, like, crazy money on, like, two shots of alcohol, you know? And, like, I like cocktails. I want to try different ones. So it's an opportunity to try something new. I look at it as a sign of friendship to be like, hey, you want to try some of mine? I'll try some of yours. That's great. But if I see the straw go into my friend's mouth, it's panic because, I've just explained to you that I look at this as a true sign of friendship, right? So in that moment, I'm like, yes, I'm being vulnerable to you. And you're sticking my straw in your mouth? Like, that's like, there's a lot of spit happening. And it's just, you know, I try to make a point when somebody hands me the drink, I'm looking to see if there's any indication of where they sipped from. And then I'm rotating the drink to try to sip from a different spot on the rim. You know, if there's a salt rim, that makes it really easy. But you can even tell, right, with just, like, the precipitation that's collecting on the side of the rim. No. It's a calculation, because that's part of the code, right? That's part of being friends. It's like, hey, I appreciate that you're giving me this space, right? That we're entering into this intimate environment where we can share drinks with one another. And, like, It's a delicate little situation that you don't want to transgress, and putting a straw in your mouth, because then I have to have the conversation. It's like, I thought we were friends and now you're doing this to me. So, like I said, it's pure panic. I don't know how to respond. I think I would shut down.
You've misused my trash. No, it's crazy presumptuous. We won't chase this scenario down, maybe for a future basketball court.
I mean, real quick, just that we have a differing opinion in the comments. Is it possible that this is actually just Warriors frustrations that you're taking out on your friend's straw etiquette? Thanks to Dylan for bringing that up.
No, it is not possible. I am a psychopath way before the Warriors drive me even crazier. And so this would have bothered me. If I had never watched a single Warriors game at any point in my life, Strawgate still would have really upset me.
If you're ever unsure, just go for the waterfall, man. You know, it's easy, right? Bet.
Hard to do with a cocktail, though. You know what I mean? That's like a Gatorade pull. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to do within a bar, but I totally agree with you. And it's just presumption. We had someone at the house the other day. They asked if they could use a bathroom. Sure, of course. They passed two bathrooms and went into our master bedroom. And they're just like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on, dude? Like, why? You know, so we won't chase that down. A basketball court for a future date. But this is my life. I venture in and out of, like, awkward interactions and get really angry about them. CJ, missed you. Phenomenal. I liked your haircut a lot, by the way. I don't know if I've said that. Looks clean. I love the short look. Phenomenal appearance in your initial, you know, judicial role. We'd love to hand you the permanent role of the Honorable CJ. So if other issues come up, in fact, if you're out there and you want CJ's opinion, go ahead and write us an email. But I'm sure I'm not alone. In fact, I'm positive people need way more CJ Holmes in their life. If I'm right, where do they go?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at CJHolmes22. And I beg you to no end, retweets, not likes, please. Unless you're on Instagram, then you kind of got it like, but you know.
For us, you know where to reach us. You want to get us an email, you want to get a case to CJ, you want to get us a question, you can shoot that too.
Huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
Boom. Our social media is expanding and expanding fast. The intern Hunger Games will continue soon. And then once we figure out who it is who's joining, let's stop calling it the intern. The Hunger Games to determine who the new team member is.
Are they battling to the death?
The next, I don't know. I mean, this isn't live, but the next thing is we're going to put them in a room and just put a sword in there and see what happens. But I don't want to spoil the ending. But our social media footprint will be a lot larger in the instant future. But until that happens, we are only on Twitter. That's at Warriors Huddle. And with that in mind, go Warriors, fuck Dylan Brooks, and hopefully we'll see you real soon.
Good.
Turn holiday travel from stressful to rewarding. Rakuten helps you save big on travel. They give you cash back when you book with sites like Expedia, Best Western, and Hertz. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other rewards like airline miles, credit card points, and hotel loyalty programs. Rakuten partners with over 3,700 stores, including Away Luggage, Ray-Ban, and Macy's, so you can be prepared with all the travel essentials and, of course, cute fits for your trip. Keep the rewards going with cash back on holiday gifts for friends and family. With Rakuten, you'll never miss out on savings at your favorite stores. The stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Join for free and start your shopping at Rakuten.com or use the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.